that time?
Yes, specifically that time.
5:45 on a Monday?
That's right.
You know what that means?
I recently got home from work.
That's true, but it also means another super special thing that you're forgetting.
Oh, God, I feel like there's something.
Megan, I know you can do it.
God damn it.
Megan.
Maria, I recently got hit on the head.
With what?
A rock.
Well, I'm going to hit you on the head with reality right now.
Oh, man. Maria, are we recording a podcast? Is that what's going on?
Yes, we are. You're wearing headphones and there's a microphone in your face.
God, so much more stuff makes sense right now.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Magic the Amateuring. I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
And I'm your other host, Megan.
We're both brunettes. That's not true.
That's a super lie.
We're both women.
Oh, that's a fact.
We're both under 30.
Maria.
Okay, not true either. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. This is a podcast for people who are coming, new players to the game of Magic the Gathering, old veteran players who are returning to the game, or anybody who likes to have a little smile every once in a fucking while.
Yep.
New show motto.
Nailed it.
We have a super special episode today featuring an awesome streamer, Megan. Are you excited?
I'm super excited, but I forgot what about. What are we doing?
Okay, I'm just going to pretend you don't have a head wound. Actually,
it's 5:45 on a Monday. Oh, I'm on my way home from work.
Groundhog Day. We're going to be interviewing streamer Doc. If you guys watch a stream, it's usually on Twitch late at night. We're going to talk about Dragons of Darkir plus magic life balance. How do you make that balance in your life? You know, sometimes it's tough with magic because it is a notoriously addictive game.
That's right. Sometimes the scale goes all the way one way and not all the way the other.
That happens to me on Thanksgiving, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
Too much gravy. Anyway.
Just the gravy.
That's all I eat on Thanksgiving. I drink the gravy boat and I'm like, peace.
That's disgusting.
That's my middle name. Disgusting. We're also going to talk about RPTQs.
That's right. We had the first round of RPTQs that happened just this past weekend. So we're going to kind of evaluate, hey, how's this thing going?
And we've got a special game, a brand new game, Megan, to do at the end of the show.
That's right. It's called Rhyme Time. And you guys are just going to have to wait until we get there to figure out what it is. But you can probably make a reasonable guess based on the name.
You named it Rhyme Time?
That name
is so lame. That also rhymes!
Fine, you name it.
Nope,
time's up. It is forever written in stone. Oh, Rhyme Time.
Tongue fun.
I think that's probably already taken by an adult film.
All right, everybody, it's time for our wonderful interview segment. I'd like to welcome podcaster Doc, aka Dr. Funkenstein, aka Gabe, to the program. Welcome.
Thanks very much.
So, Gabe, we invited you here to talk about something very important, magic life balance. But before we get into all of that, I wanted to ask you just the basic questions, like how did you yourself get into magic and get into streaming?
Well, the way I got into magic was, I think, probably a pretty common one. My older cousin played the game. He was about 13 at the time when I was 6. So I just sort of, if he had said, jumping off cliffs is really cool, I would have been like, sweet, let's go. So he said, you know, this game that I play is pretty cool if you want to learn. And so I learned very quickly and, he taught me the ropes. And then, I sort of took a break after, you know, he and I like weren't seeing each other nearly as much cause he's Canadian. As is most of my family, you can probably hear the accent a little bit.
Oh, and there was that terrible U.S.-Canada war that divided so many U.S.-Canadian families.
Yeah, we couldn't see each other for almost a decade.
Them with their floppy heads.
but anyways, so we hadn't seen each other for a little while, so I took a break from the game. Basically, when I came back in middle school, I started going to this place that's, I guess it has a pretty good reputation for being a breeding ground for serious players in New York, because I am a New Yorker. It was called Neutral Ground. It was run by Brian David Marshall, actually.
Oh.
While that place was open, I went and I sort of learned how to draft and how to play constructed reasonably well, not very. Since then, you know, I've taken a few breaks, but mostly I've just been a major spike and really love the game.
All right. So loving the game doesn't always translate into starting a stream, albeit a very popular one on Twitch. So tell me how that happened.
Basically, I guess it's like a year and 9 months ago or so. I started playing Magic online because somebody said there's a program for it. And I was like, I had no idea. And so I started playing it, and I was with my friends, and they had watched other things on Twitch or whatever. And they were like, I wonder if there are streamers of Magic online on Twitch. And so we looked, and there were. And I thought, well, this is cool. I can do this. You know, I have a pretty powerful computer, so I can probably do this. And so
Humble
I started.
Rig.
And, oh, yeah. Yeah, no, my rig's pretty sweet. It actually needs replacing, but.
I play MTGO on a $500 crap top. It's so slow, it's like meandering tower shell. Boom, sick burn.
You mean that every time you go to play MTGO, you actually have to like log off and then log in the next day and play it then?
Yes, yes.
Jeez. That's rough. At least it's not Wandering Tombshell. That would be when it would crash her.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, yeah, so I started playing Magic online and I started streaming a little bit. And it was definitely, it translated into something where I always wanted to be streaming when I was playing because it was just way more fun to have people to talk to in the chat. And I guess, you know, it started out with like 5 people, 10 people in the chat. And then it was very quickly 30, 40. And then after that, it was 100. And then about a month after that, it was like 200. And I was like, oh, this, I guess people really enjoy, you know, what I'm doing here. And so I started taking it a little bit more seriously. And especially in the last about 6 months, we've seen just an insane amount of growth in the community of, I guess, watching streams on Twitch in general. And as a result, Magic streams. So it's been really great.
And Wizards has contacted you to play in their like preview draft events, which I think has got to be like a badge of honor.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie. That was a fun little email message I got from Allison, one of their community managers, a while back. I guess the first one I did was the Legacy Cube preview. And that was actually where I picked up my only match loss in these things.
Yeah, you've won a couple, haven't you?
Yeah, I picked up a match loss in round one to Marshall Sutcliffe of the Limited Resources podcast.
Notorious jerk.
Yeah. No, he's a super nice guy. He's great. He just absolutely crushed me in game three when we both mulliganed to five, but he drew out of it. And I actually had a little bit of help with that one because I'm not much of a cuber. I'm more of like a regular limited player. I had Usman as my special guest for the cube preview, and he's much, much better than I am, much more competent cube drafter. And so we ended up with a sweet deck and managed to win out from there. And then the two after that, I guess, were Khans of Tarkir. No, they didn't do a Khans one. I think it was just Fate Reforged and Dragons of Tarkir. I 3-0'd both of those and got to play against some really good players in both, much better than I am. But now I get to hold an EXO record over their heads forever. So
awesome. And if people haven't had the chance or the opportunity to see your stream before we get into our main topic, can you just tell them, you know, like where and when to find you?
Sure. So I stream usually 5 nights a week. Sometimes it's more than that or less, depending on, you know, exams and so forth. It's from about 11:30 p.m. Eastern. So I guess that's 10:30 your guys' time until I end between 2:30 and 4 a.m. my time.
Wow. Have you always been a night owl?
Yes. I don't actually have a diagnosed case of insomnia, but I sleep very, very little.
Like a horse, do you sleep standing up?
No, that would really be tiring. I'm super lazy. I just don't sleep very much.
Well, I guess that sort of answers one of our questions. Playing Magic can really, you know, kind of invade your life, especially when you get into it, especially with Magic Online. And besides being a Magic player, you also have another big part of your life. Like, you're in law school right now, right?
Yes, that's correct. Basically, I've always balanced some video game or other with school, you know, college and even high school and now law school. It's definitely a balancing act. You have to really know when you can do what and what you absolutely cannot do because of your work. And work always takes, you know, precedent for me. If something needs to get done or something like that. I'll plan it out such that I can do it in the periods of time where I have usually been doing work, which is, I guess, between when I get out of class and late at night. And then I usually save my late night stuff for, you know, playing games, because it's just my brain doesn't need to be particularly functional in order to do those things, because I have a lot of fun doing them anyways. So I kind of stay awake. Whereas if I try to do work late at night, it's really kind of unproductive.
I mean, maybe it's just me, but I imagine law school being quite demanding.
It is, yeah. The time that I spend doing things other than law school is time that I guess most of my classmates or other people would spend sleeping. So it really, I don't actually take any time from what I would do in law school. I do spend the absurd amount of hours doing all the things that you have to do. It's just that when other people are asleep, I'm just still up doing other things.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I sleep all the time. just constantly.
I think my average is about 5 hours a night.
Oh my God. I would die.
I'd be already dead.
Yeah, that's the reaction I get from most people. People are like, man, I would just be a zombie if I had 4 hours. I'm like, oh, it's really not that bad.
I actually sleep so much that I have perfected the bus nap, which is where my body knows how, yes, I know how long like my bus ride from work to home is. And I wake up like at the same spot on the route that's like a couple of stops before mine every day.
Man,
I feel pretty accomplished.
You have a pretty good internal clock then.
I mean, I guess so. Something about it. Also the terror of sleeping past your stop.
That would be brutal for me. Yeah.
Yeah. It's happened like twice. It was rough. Price you pay. So how often do you play Magic, and does that vary based on kind of like where you are in your school schedule?
Yes, definitely varies based on where I'm at in terms of how much work I have. I've canceled streams plenty before, and I will again for exam time. And that's actually pretty much coming up right here for me the next 3 weeks. This week is my reading period, so it doesn't really affect my schedule very much. But next week and the week after, I have exams all throughout, and so it's a matter of making sure that you know, you have time for those and time for all the studying that needs to happen, and get plenty of sleep the night before an exam. Because yes, I do function very well on, you know, very little sleep, but getting 8 hours before an exam means that you just do much better. So I have canceled stream before and canceled other things before. It's actually the GP Atlantic City is the third Grand Prix in Limited, which is my format, in an area close to me, very easy to get to, that I will have missed in the last 2 years due to exams.
Yep.
Goddamn lawyers. Goddamn future lawyers.
Are you going to be a Magic lawyer, as in you'll only do law related to Magic? Anyway.
Nope, keep going, Maria.
You were on a roll.
Magic-related legal questions. And you'll always wear a long, billowy robe and a wizard's hat.
Maria, those people are called judges. And okay, I hate to
if
tell you this.
If only witches wore... Wait, what did I just say? If only judges wore witches' hats, that would be...
That would be pretty great.
I mean, have you ever wanted to wear a wig like the barristers do in London / have to?
Absolutely not. That is absurd.
I can't believe that they still do that. I think it's kind of cute.
The Supreme Court in Italy, they wear pillows on their head. It's pretty amazing.
Pillows?
Maria, Google that picture.
Straight up.
Google that for me. Okay. I need to go ahead and see this. Sorry, did you say that you have like, you're in a reading period right now?
Yeah, there's like a... about a week off where you don't have any classes. You just have like time to do studying and outlining for exams.
That's awesome. I mean, I'm sure it is, you know, they do it for a reason because you need it, but it's still pretty
you
sweet.
Sure do.
That they're like, here's a week to do all that studying that we know that you need to do. What kind of law are you studying?
Well, I mean, I want to start out as a corporate litigator, so basically doing litigation from corporation side, and it makes a lot of money, but it's really not what I want to end up doing. Basically, my eventual goal is to be a federal prosecutor, ideally working for the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District, which is Preet Bharara's office right now, actually. It's pretty frequently in the news. Obviously, I guess the most recent big headline was, well, the most recent national headline, I suppose, was Bernie Madoff. And that sort of stuff, along with anti-terrorism and other things, pretty much anything that comes across a federal prosecutor's desk sounds really interesting to me. So that's what I eventually want to end up in.
Awesome.
That's super cool. So do you ever feel like magic gets in the way, or are you pretty good at being able to be like, now is a time when I can play and now is a time when I cannot play, no matter how damn badly I want to?
I basically, cracked this conundrum in college, I think. In college, I played World of Warcraft at a very competitive level. And that's an extremely addicting game, way more so than Magic, I think. And it's basically, I played it at a level where, you know, you have to, when something, a piece of new content came out, there was, you just had to commit so much time to it. And it totally got in the way of life. Socially and academically and everything else. And I eventually was just like, this is just not worth it. I just don't want to do this because I don't want to have to pay for it later. So I stopped doing that completely. And after that, I played at a very, very casual level and had a lot more fun, and also didn't have to sacrifice literally any part of my social life or anything else for it, which just was so much better. Just a strict upgrade.
Nice. So it's like a been there, done that kind of situation.
I guess so. Since then, it's just been a sort of really easy balancing act for me, but I know it's not for some other people. And I guess my biggest piece of advice would be to make sure that you're never, ever letting something completely and totally rule out something else, unless that first something that's doing the ruling out is important to your future.
Like law school.
Yeah, exactly. Academics or serious relationships or family or you know, long-term friends, something like that. That can take precedent, but other stuff just can't.
I try and think of it this way, which I think I've had, I don't remember where I heard this, but I try to think of, if I'm like canceling or not going to events or plans with friends because I want to like play Magic, that I think is sort of crossing the line for me. Like, I should let real people take precedence. And maybe that sounds silly, but I think sometimes that's an important thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, it's a really good line to draw, I think.
I feel like especially since a fair number, like obviously there's always the split, but like there's a reasonable number of Magic players who are pretty introverted. So it's so easy to let yourself be like, I'm going to play Magic instead of going out and interacting with people. Because that's the way I would naturally trend anyways.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, a lot of the times people in your life, I found, don't necessarily even understand why you like to play Magic, or necessarily why, you know, you do it so much. Like for us, we have sort of an excuse. We have a podcast and we need to sort of know what we're talking about. But have you ever found people in your life, you know, having a hard time understanding or accepting your hobby?
To some degree. I've always had my friends bust my chops a lot, but they all play like at some point in their lives too. So they do understand it. They just bust my chops for still playing.
Oh, well.
Yeah. And mostly it's just them trying to find some sort of ammunition to hit me with, because it's pretty tough otherwise, actually. Cause like I have my life pretty well organized. And so I think I like to think of it as sort of like a compliment, but I'm probably just being delusional.
Well, I think about this all the time. I think, when am I going to be the complete weird old lady playing Magic? And should I even care? Should I just be like, guess what, Maria? That's going to happen to you someday, and you just have to be okay with it. Or should there be a point when I'm like, just retreat to your hole?
Just don't start collecting cat tokens. That's probably a bad call.
Oh, I see what you're saying. What about real cats?
real cats are...
I have a friend who collects cat tokens, and yeah, we call him the crazy old cat guy.
I've definitely like encountered that person at LGS's, like, where it's like, oh, you have a cat themed deck. That's exciting.
We're both pretty spiky though, Megan.
That's true. I'm not saying that it's either of us. Oh. I'm saying that it's people that we have encountered.
I collect gold tokens.
That's true. Oh.
Guild was a great card.
Oh, I know. It was so great. And I love those gold tokens. Oh.
Why do you say it like that?
Because that's an Austin Powers reference.
Oh, okay.
You're too young to remember.
or your impression of Dr. Evil was just not up to...
It wasn't Dr. Evil! Megan!
What? Who... Okay, which film are you referencing?
Goldmember.
Oh, I never saw that one.
All right, nailed it.
I saw the first one and then the second one. I never saw the third one.
It's probably fine.
Because in general, I mean, my rule is you never see the third thing in anything.
Wait, have you never seen Star Wars, the third episode?
No.
Have you ever seen Back to the Future Part 3?
Nope.
Are you kidding me right now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Good, thank God.
Godfather is pretty bad.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Part 3.
Godfather Part 3 is just unwatchable.
Yeah. 1 and 2, though, fantastic.
Oh, my goodness. So good.
I was thinking about that the other day. Need to get back on watching that again.
You were thinking about The Godfather?
Yeah.
Just like randomly?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Weird.
doesn't that happen to you? I'm Italian, though, Megan.
Yeah, we Italians do that a lot.
You're right. I was just thinking about potatoes and potato famines in my spare time.
Yeah.
It's what I'm my Irish. People naturally tend towards.
I'm Irish-Italian, so I really just understand both of you here.
Oh, wonderful.
Bridge here, building bridges here. You're building bridges.
I guess this is a question that, I mean, I feel like you've got it pretty well down, the balance that you've struck for yourself in your life. But have you ever found yourself faltering, like, oh, I am weighted too heavily in playing right now and I need to pull back, like... I've got to, you know, get myself away from the addictive pull at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously you can sort of catch yourself before it gets, you know, to the point where you actually think, whoa, I really need to step away completely. And that's usually the way you want to do it, right? You sort of think, I've been going to a PPTQ or more every single weekend for X number of weekends, and that's probably a bad idea. I should, you know, see if I can really find anybody who's into, I mean, you know, you could sometimes have excuses like, you know, everybody's out of town or whatever. I just have nothing else to do. And as long as those excuses are not just you lying to yourself and saying that you don't actually have anything to do when in fact you just want to go to the PPTQs, then you're okay. But if you sort of catch yourself as saying, oh, I really just kind of bagged this actual thing for, you know, something that's purely magic related, then you should probably sort of take a step back and say, let's just not play any magic for a minute or two here.
I think the hardest time for me in doing that, and I think you can relate, Megan, is say you do poorly in a draft and you just rage start a new one. Really, you should be having a lemonade on the porch.
I think just last week we talked about the rage draft and then the motherfucking rage draft, which immediately follows the rage draft that you lose. But do you know what?
We call those bad idea drafts in New York. They're actually part of the league that I'm in for team drafting or whatever. Whenever like there's a day of team drafting or whatever, pickup team drafts, there's always a really, really late pod called the bad idea draft, where it's like if you've OX'd the first couple of pods, you're just so frustrated that you're automatically registered into that pod. Like there's no way you're not doing it because you're just so pissed.
Do you call people who routinely bad idea draft old biddies because bad idea draft is BID? Old biddies.
I mean, I followed the words you were saying.
I think it is so clever, Megan.
We do not do that.
Just, you know what? If you feel you use that, you get one free.
Yeah. I was just thinking about, like, listen to how people rich these people on the East Coast are. There's just people to team draft all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like in Minnesota, we're in the middle of nowhere. And then people on the Star City Game Circuit call Columbus, Ohio a Midwestern event. And you're like, no, you guys. Columbus, Ohio is 11 hours from where I live.
That's awesome. You have team leagues. Oh, super jelly right now.
Yeah, I was very lucky. A viewer of mine, actually two viewers of mine, invited me to the league. And it was really like, it's no question the biggest jump in my game because like the quality of player there is just so far above where I am that, and personally, just my experience anyways, is that you as a Magic player will learn the most from playing with players who are just better than you are. Even if you get crushed every time,
so true.
If you're paying attention, you're going to learn a lot. And we have a lot of Pro Tour regulars, and actually our newest addition to the league is John Finkel. So that's been nice. I had to play against Finkel in week one of the league this season, and my team lost, but I beat John, which is nice.
Nice.
You're just racking up your XOs versus the pros.
Yeah. I have a lot of I'm 4-0 against Tom Martell. That's my biggest proud one because he hates that, and I just love rubbing that in his face. It's so because he's so much better than I am, as is Luis, as is John, as are all of these people. They're just so much better than I am. But I just, you know, I resolve turn four Citadel Sieges against them, and then there's just no, I can't possibly do wrong.
Do you know what? Out of all the times that I've drafted Fate in either Cons or Dragons, I have never opened an effing Citadel Siege.
Ever?
Ever. It still is rubbing me the wrong way.
I mean, there's still time.
There is still time. But you know what? Like, part of me thinks that it's never going to happen. It's like, it's going to be Fate's way of being like, Megan, I know that you hate me. And here's my token of saying I hate you back.
Well, yeah, maybe.
It's just mutual dislike. I just wanted to take 2 seconds to acknowledge. So we've been talking a lot about Magic life balance in the context of people who are like, we're all competitive players. But at the same time, there is still a level of competitive player above this where it's like maybe a lot of the time that you do choose to go to PPTQs because that's like you have very big Magic goals and those are the goals that you're prioritizing. So I just wanted to mention that for any of our listeners who are maybe kind of on that track and are like, oh, should I? Who are maybe like, are you getting down on like my
grinders?
Exactly. Like no. Grinders who are like, are you getting down on the way that I'm doing things? It's like, no, this is more for people who are competitive, but still trending more towards casual as opposed to more towards grinding.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
I'm actually a borderline grinder at this point. It's just that I never prioritize grinding over school. That's like my one real serious line. Like I've once or twice had to go to a PPTQ or whatever. That was just like, this is just a really soft field. And I, you know, I pretty much like shoe in for top eight or whatever. I continue to not win in the top eight, but those are pretty easy to top eight. You know, fortunately all my friends are the ones who win the eventual, title and the invite. So at least that's good for them. And then I don't have to play against them again, for at least this season.
Nice.
But yeah, it's I've had to do that once or twice of sort of saying, okay, yeah, I'll put this other thing aside and actually go and grind this event because I actually really care about this. So I've seen that side of it too. And as long as you're not doing it over anything that's like strictly more important, like a serious relationship or an academic matter or a work related matter for those of you who are not students perpetually like myself.
If you have a bullet wound, go to the hospital. Don't go to the PPTQ. That's my advice.
I mean, unless it's in an extremity and you have a friend nearby who's really good with tourniquets. I just want to put that caveat on there.
Okay.
I mean, you could just be Bruce Willis.
That's true. Who can take infinite bullets? He can get shot, you know, any number of times. Be pretty okay.
Bruce Willis seems strong in this meta.
in the being shot before a pre-PTQ meta, Bruce Willis has an edge over everybody else.
Seems like a great call.
Gabe, you've been playing a lot of Dragons drafting. Obviously, you mentioned that you feel like you're primarily a limited player. So tell us a little bit about what's your favorite thing to draft in Dragons right now.
Red, black.
Me too, brother.
You just always want to be red black.
I don't get you guys, but all right.
I think it's the best deck.
Yeah, I thought it was the best deck, and then I talked to the pros who agree, and now I'm just like really, really convinced it's the best deck. It's just the issue is that almost everybody knows it now because the pros have been publishing so many articles on it and so forth. So it's frequently closed, and you have to really give a great deal of sort of room to making sure that you're reading your signals right in this format because packs 1 and 2 are incredibly important. So what you get past in pack 3 is pretty important because the really powerful uncommons and rares will often get passed if you've read your pack one signals right. But the pack two cards are your meat and potatoes. And so you really need to make sure that you're not sending mixed signals either. I think this format more so than others is really about signal drafting. And so I've been really trying to not mess up any signals or misread them myself.
Why do you think it's more important than other formats?
I think mostly because the power level of cards in pack three after pick three or four is just atrocious. You just won't get any playables most of the time. Or like maybe you'll get some chaff, but you won't have sort of your pack three to bail you out of a mediocre draft if you haven't already sort of set yourself up with at least 17 playables or 18 playables in the first two packs. And that means it also means you can't waffle very much. So I was actually talking about this the other night with my team, who actually we're about to go play after I get done with you guys. Hopefully they will have taken this advice to heart. But I basically said that after pick four in pack one, you need to lock into at least one color. Pick four, you really need to be locked minimum one color. I think you really want to be locked into a two color combo at that point. And really waver very little and only for incredible bombs and preferably just splash those. Because you will get so punished by, you know, just giving up, you know, five or six cards in the beginning of pack one, because you'll end up with a deck that has maybe 20 cards that you actually want to play, and you have to sneak in two just completely unplayables, maybe three, and that's just not what you want to do in this format. Obviously, if you can, you know, resolve your bomb every game, it's going to be great, but you can't rely on that in a limited format.
So do you think that because of the strength of red-black that, I don't know, I'm just wondering if, like, you always have a fighting chance in other colors if you get something, you know, an insane draft deck, but do you think it has that much of an advantage over the other pairs?
I've tried just straight up forcing it for drafts in the those 64-man, I guess 60, I always do this, 64-player release queues.
Yay!
I've been messing that up a lot, and I constantly correct myself. But 64-player release queues. When forcing red-black, was still able to do pretty well, but I got rewarded far more for not forcing colors, and that shouldn't be a surprise. But obviously, when red-black is open, I'm going to be in it every single time.
Nice. So it's strong, but it's not white and M15 strong.
Correct. You don't slam triplicate spirits anymore. You definitely
God.
Slam ultimate price. Like, ultimate price is unbelievable. So is flatten. I mean, black just has the best support color commons and uncommons. So if you can have black as a sort of support color base, since it has the best removal, you can sort of go anywhere with the draft. You can be green black. You can be, you know, black blue. You can be black. It doesn't matter. Just as long as you have black as a support color. And red has a lot of the most aggressively costed and efficient creatures, and allows you to do more than a few, you know, different things with your deck. You can go aggressive, and then with dash, you aren't, you know, vulnerable to sorcery speed removal, of which there's a great deal. And you're also just sort of attacking the game from an angle that is actively rewarded and limited. With sort of the dash lords, as you might call them, Warbringer and Ambuscade Shaman, you're able to sort of have these creatures that act almost as anthem enchantments, or like, you know, things that reward you for having cards in your hand that you can cast that relate to them, but then they go right back to your hand. So you don't actually expose them to any wrath effects, of which there are very few, obviously, but still that's usually just a complete blowout and limited. And you also are able to sculpt a game plan where you can sort of get in early damage, and then in the late game, you can sort of just dash five creatures, and out of nowhere, your opponent's just dead. And it's also very difficult to play against from the flip side. You can't really play around the five cards in their hand being dash creatures.
I love when my opponent has Crux of Fate and I'm playing a dash deck. Please try and cast it on me.
I personally really enjoy asking my opponents, both in limited and constructed, which mode they're choosing on that card every single time they try and cast it.
I was playing in a pre-PTQ where I chose dragons, because my opponent had two dragons in play. And I was just like, this is absurd. Also, I hate you and your two dragons. I said those exact words as I cast it.
Nice. Yeah, I actually I top-aided a PPTQ yesterday with the Esper Dragon standard deck, my own little slightly meta-tweaked version or whatever of Paul Cheon's list, who's got a very good 75 going. And yeah, Paul.
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 Paul. Okay, enough.
Yeah.
And I used that card in the mirror in game one, you know, just I'll one for one your Seal of Gar. Okay, that's fine. This card was just rotting in my hand anyways. Choose dragons.
Nice. And that stupid Silumgar the Drifting Death, he thinks he's so cool. He's over here with his hexproof being like, deal with me, jerks. And you're like, guess what, buddy? I will.
He was pretty annoying when he came back after the Haven of the Spirit Dragon, but I ended up winning that match with my sweet mirror tech is main deck Ashiok. And that card unanswered, or when they try and answer it and you have more Silumgar Scorns, is pretty huge in the mirror. I managed to ultimate and exile my opponent's 8-card hand.
Whoa.
That's amazing. That's awesome. I have to say, like, there is something about Ashiok that I hate. Like, I get that it's
is
so
it the
good.
Long fingernails?
It might be. It's just like when I see it, I think I'm so upset about what it does. It's like all you do is you exile 3 cards.
You don't do anything. You
jerk. Like, what? Why don't you contribute something? You contribute something to this board. And he's like, no, I'll just take the top 3 cards of your library. And I'm like, you're such a dick, Ashiok.
He's lazy is what it is.
I mean, it's just because he's so busy being emaciated.
Yeah, he needs to eat a sandwich.
He's a model type. Like, I'm so tired.
I'll have a gummy bear for lunch.
That is my lunch sometimes.
Oh, Megan.
But
so this is just confirmation that there should be a Zoolander alt art for Ashiok.
Yes. Yes. In fact, like, listeners, someone please make me that.
Minus X for blue steel and then minus 10 for magnum.
Amazing. Amazing. Listeners, there you go. It's your challenge for the episode. Give us an alt art Ashiok.
A Zoolander. So what's your all-time favorite draft format?
Lorwyn block.
Nice.
I guess I was in high school at the time. I just loved tribal stuff. They were very, very linear archetypes. And this was when, I mean, I was a competent drafter, but I was not, very good. I'm still not very, very good, but I'm much better than I was back then, obviously. It was so much fun to play like, oh, sweet. I get to play, you know, green, black elves and it's going to be actually good. You know, I'm not just going to sort of be the kid at the table with like, you know, all the forests and elves and trying to do cutesy little interactions. You actually were flipping cards to the Wolf Skull Shaman in draft and you were actually, you know, getting value off of your clashes and all these. There were just so many amazing format defining mechanics that were just so much fun to play, at least in my opinion at the time.
Did you like the first Modern Masters then, especially had so many Lorwyn cards in it?
Loved it. Really, really did. I have a box still sealed.
That's worth $1 million. You should bronze it.
I'm saving it for a very, very special draft. It's actually going to be pretty soon. It's before the next Modern Masters comes out. I recently found out that I'm going to be able to go to GP Vegas.
Oh, yeah, sweet. Boy. We'll see you down there.
That's right. You can get one of these sweet bracelets. Oh, yeah. Check that out. Ooh. All right.
I'm going to hold you to that. What does it say?
Absolutely.
Oh, Magic the Amateur.
Yeah. And then good luck. High five.
We haven't told the listeners yet that we have these bracelets, Megan.
Oh, no. We ruined the surprise. Listeners, well, forget
no,
forget
it's
we just
fine.
Said that.
We'll just tell them.
No, hit yourself. Hit yourself with a shoe.
If you come to Vegas and you find us, you get a Magic the Amateuring bracelet. Super sweet.
Anyways.
I just spoiled that for everyone.
Yep, you really did. So, sorry, tell us. You're going to draft Modern Masters sometime soon.
Yeah, I think so what I've been sort of saving it up for is getting like a really, really sweet 8-person team draft pod. We do teams afterwards randomly assigned after the draft, and I'll actually be streaming it. So it'll be people from the league. And the part of the reason is that I have to have a lot of time in order to set up all the cameras and everything else and actually be able to sort of like have a pocket cam for, you know, you can see one of the players, what they're drafting. I have to figure out who can be in the pod. Obviously, everyone wants in, and I sort of have to do a fair way of determining who gets to play and who doesn't and so forth. Obviously, we've drafted a lot of Modern Masters together before. But
favoritism is pretty fair. That's what I've heard. Just pick your favorites.
Yeah, I mean, bribing me is pretty strong in this meta.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There you go. Cold hard cash.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a public television producer, so I've got a lot of money to throw your way.
Excellent.
I work in publishing, which is a field noted for its amazing salaries. So recently, everybody, there was the first round of regional PTQs, which is if you have been playing in any of your local pre-PTQs or preliminary PTQs or PTQ qualifiers.
Or P squared TQs.
Yep, really, take your pick of how you're going to say it. These are the tournaments that those fed into. The winner of a pre-PTQ gets an invite to a regional PTQ, and then the top four, or depending if they're exceptionally large, the top eight of a regional PTQ get invites to the Pro Tour. And this is a system that Wizards implemented starting at the end of last year. And this is our first regional PTQ. That just went down. So we're just going to take a second to evaluate, hey, how's this system going? Just like you do several months into a relationship. Hey, Wizards.
What you do?
Yeah, I sit down and I make a pros and cons list. And I'm like, how is this? Okay. You're doing okay. You have more in the pros column than the cons column.
I make a pros and cons list, but it's cons as in cons of Tarkir. And the pros list is pro players. And how many cons from Cons of Tarkir I've dated versus how many pro players, and that's my list.
What's your number on each side of the column right now, just out of curiosity?
Sure. Pros is 15, cons 2.
Wait, which ones?
Oh, Kolaghan. Oh, well, that's a dragon.
She's not a con.
Okay.
Also a lady. I mean, no, I'm no. not gonna I'm not gonna say that you have to pick. But
Sirak
was the other one.
Buff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going just for like straight up like manliness, I feel like there's really only one option.
True. Bear punching is pretty hot.
That's true. He did punch a bear and then a dragon.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to, you know, yeah, Sirak. I feel like, are you sure you're not going to go like Orc? Zergo Home Smasher? I mean,
pretty sure.
I mean, he's tall.
I don't care.
Okay.
He's not. No.
So we were evaluating pre-PTQs before we got started on that conversation. Gabe, have you been to pre-PTQs? You already said that you did. How have they gone? How do you feel about the system?
I have yet to win one, which is very, very frustrating. But mostly because we constantly cannibalize each other, my playtest group.
Yeah.
Meaning we often either knock each other out of top eight contention or we knock each other out of the top eight. And you know, obviously there's only one winner, and I can only get to so many in any season, and most of them actually aren't even in my format, which is another thing that recently changed. And I think Helene Bergeau has sort of been responding to complaints that have been very legitimate from my perspective as a limited player.
Absolutely.
And is now making sure that there are more limited PPTQs offered by the local gaming stores, which is, I think, it makes perfect sense. They, you know, when they started testing it, they sort of were like, okay, sort of laissez-faire about the whole situation. But now kind of encouraging more limited is, I think, much better, because even though it's might be a little bit less of a profit margin for the store, it's allows far more players to actually qualify, because often limited players aren't particularly strong at constructed, and myself included. And so I would much rather be able to actually get to a couple of sealed PPTQs. I've only actually ever managed to make it to two, I think, maybe one.
Yeah, I've noticed like the difference between the one that fed into this last set of regional PTQs. Regional PTQs for Vancouver. I think that there was one in all of Minnesota that was sealed. Mm-hmm. And then this time there have been a couple, like Maria and I have already been to two, and we're going to be able to make it to a third one. So it's nice to see it already self-correcting to some extent, because the one that was sealed last season, like, sold out before the event even started, like the day of the event. It sold out, you know, like a couple of days before because people were so eager to get in there. And luckily stores responded to that also.
Yeah, I mean, I can, you know, come from the same perspective of just being a strictly limited player. I was really disappointed at first, worrying that we were just going to see all standard or, you know, modern, because that's, you know, what stores are used to, I think, and they feel safer doing that format for some reason. Maybe they don't have as much overhead. But Sealed is so very near and dear to my heart. I'm happy that LN came out and said, hey, guess what? We're going to have to make a push to have more Sealed available to everybody.
Absolutely. And from what I've heard from people is like they're pretty happy with the way that the system is working also. Like, I have heard some people complain that it's like a little bit of a grind to make it to a ton of pre-PTQs, which we've definitely known. It's like, I know some people who have gone to like a shit ton of them.
Yeah.
And then there's like us, so it's like, oh, we'll make an effort to go to the Sealed ones because we love playing Sealed. But it's like beyond that, it's, you know.
This is my question, though. Since we love Sealed, if we would have qualified, say, for the regional, mm-hmm. Which is not completely out of the question, playing, we would end up in Kansas City playing Standard.
That is true. The next one is Sealed.
Okay. Well, that's nice. Sweet. Yeah, because I would have been very uncomfortable about that. Not like I think I'm going to make the pro tour if I made a regional PTQ, but even so, I would rather play a format that I qualified with than one I didn't.
Yeah, it's like if you're looking at jumping over a jump. Oh. No.
Nailed it.
I was trying to think of the pole vault. If you're trying to pole vault over like a certain stick.
Oh god.
I know nothing about beep, sports.
Beep, the sound of you backing up.
Okay. It's like if I'm pole vaulting, I'd like to think I at least have a chance of making it over the stick as opposed to
like, it's a stick.
Well, what is it?
An H, a tall H. I think is the technical term.
I would like to think that I have a reasonable chance over making it over the horizontal bar of that H, as opposed to not having a chance of making it over the horizontal part of the H.
Great metaphor.
I mean,
what were we talking about again?
Pole vaulting. Regional PTQs, everybody.
Right.
Yeah. So if you have participated in either local pre-PTQs or regional PTQs, give us a tweet or send us an email and let us know a little bit about how you feel the system is going and what your experience has been like, because we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, we're at MTAcast if you want to give us a shout out on Twitter about this. I am interested to know if you know, say won a Sealed PTQ and then you played in the RPTQ and it was not Sealed, how that made you feel. Like, are you confident enough making that switch as a player? Do you think you should just be able to and it makes you a stronger player, so that's fine that they ask that of you? Or would you rather play the same format that you qualified in?
Yeah, interesting.
That's my cue.
All right. Yep. Go for it.
My league play group or whatever sent several people to the RPTQ, and actually one of them lost in the quarters, which is pretty frustrating. Oh,
that's probably the worst feeling.
Yeah, but I was actually part of the sort of, I guess you would call it the standard gauntlet. I was the control player in the room because we have a couple of control masters, and I am certainly not one, but they were not around to test. So I did the Esper Dragons opponent impersonation because I've been playing the deck for a long time, and these guys tested really, really hard, and I know that you know, they're all limited players at heart, but whatever the format is, the spikes who win PPTQs will test it, and so I think there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, and to be fair, we had a couple of friends who went, two of whom consider themselves limited players primarily, and one of them lost playing for top 8, and one of them made the top 4 and qualified playing standard, so that's pretty sweet. And shows that, you know, it can be done. It's rough, but if you sit down and you apply yourself to it, you can probably accomplish what you feel like accomplishing.
Like a good poop. If you sit down, you can probably make it happen.
Oh, God. If you have it in you, right?
Yep. All right. We got some limerick time.
All right. Otherwise known as rhyme time.
Oh, yeah. or what did I call it? Tongue-a-fun. That's right.
Oh God. All right. So Gabe, we're gonna read you some limericks, and you can go ahead and pull up if you want to. You can pull up Mythic Spoiler, or if you're feeling like a real baller, you can just go ahead and listen to them and fill it in without trying to look at cards and figure out what it is.
I'll run it blind.
Yeah, I think you've got it. I feel confident. We're going to give you the first part of the limerick. You fill in the card name. Listeners, play along at home. And yes, I did steal this game from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I feel like I'm okay to do that because I was once their intern.
All right, there you have it.
All right.
So Marie, I believe the first one is yours. Okay. Take it away.
There once was a shaman so sweet, with hair the color of raw meat. He'd ping dudes all day, then hit for six and say, hey, I dig my...
Shaman of the Forgotten Way?
It's going to rhyme with sweet, FYI.
Oh, sweet.
Yes, yes.
Oh, nailed it.
I'll say it again.
I guess Atarka Freet.
Yay!
Oh, nice.
Wonderful job.
All right. Here comes the next one. This big cat is quite the fighter, but with friends, he is a first striker. Though he's not very tough, he's got power enough. I'm talking about...
Sabretooth Outrider.
Yes! Nailed it!
Oh, you're so good at this. We cleared the rhyme scheme middle H of the pole vault, and we got there.
It's pretty sad because I was a classics major in undergrad, so I definitely know what a limerick is. It's been too long.
It's all good. I mean, all of the Irish part of you is upset right now.
Pretty upset with myself, yeah.
So it's okay. You're going to have to make it up. All right, Maria, take it away.
Okay, here's a bit of a tougher one. Maybe, maybe not. It's probably still easy. Okay. There's an instant that is super great. It lets you peek at your future fate. Just cast it for two. Of these three, I choose you. Man, I love.
Anticipate.
Yay!
Nice. All right. Amongst the Naga, I'm the biggest frowner, but I'll help you draw cards when you flounder. Check out your top four. Take only one and not more. I'm the handy exploit.
Gurmag Drowner.
Yay!
This is my favorite game we've ever done, by the way.
I definitely take more advantage of slant rhyme than Maria. Maria's a pretty pure rhymer. I take it the Kanye West, intern, sure. Winter. We're rolling. Okay.
All right. This is one's near and dear to my heart. On Tarkir, I'm super baller. On turn four, I'm a really great brawler. I love a Tarka wearing a big bear parka. I go by...
Screamreach Brawler?
Oh, no. But pretty close, because I wouldn't rhyme brawler with brawler because I'm not, you know, one of those rappers.
Beyonce. You're not Beyonce.
Okay. One more time. Here we go. It's a green card PS. On Tarkir, I'm super baller. On turn four, I'm a really great brawler. I love a Tarka wearing a big bear parka. I go by...
You got me stumped.
Maria's ex-boyfriend. Sarek the Hun Collar.
Oh my God.
It's all good. It's all good. Right now you're four out of five.
It's good.
Okay. On this plane, I'm the smartest guy and the one who told Narset bye. I've got wisdom for days living in this misty haze. The name's...
One more time.
Okay.
This is a hard one, Megan.
That's true. Do you read Uncharted Realms?
No.
Okay.
Oh, never mind.
I don't know if I would get this.
Oh, okay. On this plane, I'm the smartest guy and the one who told Narset bye. I've got wisdom for days living in this misty haze. The name's...
Oof. I have no idea.
I'm going to whisper it over the microphone.
It's a dragon lord. Ojutai!
So again,
I think there's a direct correlation between how many of these are draft commons and the other ones are mythics that I never see.
Yeah, that could be it.
That's totally fair. And also, I couldn't think of anything that rhymed with Ojutai. So I used the Narset Bai part, but that's only in Uncharted Realms. So there you have it.
Ojutai told Narset Bai.
Yeah, because she was, you know, she got her Planeswalker spark, but first she was his student, and then she was sniffing around, learning more stuff that she wasn't supposed to learn. And then Tygon was like, Ojutai's pissed at you, bro. And she's like, shut up. And then she felt her Planeswalker spark ignite, and Ojutai was like, it's okay, roll with it, lady.
Oh, okay. We got four more. Here we go. One of my personal faves. In my brood, I am the star. Why's that? Because I am the czar. My death touch's a pain. I wear a dude on a chain. I'm so cute. My name's...
Selimgar.
Yeah!
The only dude on Tarkir baller enough to wear a dude on a chain.
Yeah.
All right. I look like underwear that a giant man wore. And making me good is really a chore. Have crews or dig in your yard, then I'll hit pretty hard. I'm a creature scroll called...
Living Lore.
Yes.
I didn't see that one, Megan. That one's so good. Oh, God. Okay, this one I also think is pretty tough. We'll see. Of the morphs, you could say I'm the mayor. I'll make the deck of any good player. I flip up real quick a kill spell on a stick. My name's...
Hmm. One more time.
This is a clue. It is a white card.
And it's a rare.
Yeah, it is a rare.
Oh, Hidden Dragon Slayer.
Yay!
All right.
Nailed it.
All right.
This one's the most important one.
This one's the most important. I'm powerful but not a great fighter. My toughness needs to be a bit mightier, but because I have hexproof, bolstering me is real stress proof. All praise the
Conifer Strider.
Yay!
Nice. I think you scored like a solid 8 out of 10.
Yeah, that's great.
And to be fair, I think it could be said that Maria and I scored an 8 out of 10. Since it might have been our lack of coherent rhyming and sentences that failed to help you answer.
That's the beauty of the limerick, though, right? I mean, it's poetry at its lowest.
I was going to try and counter with like a poet, like a great poet who wrote limericks, but I'm blanking pretty hard. What would St. Patrick say about that, Maria?
He would say, I killed all the snakes.
No, Maria, that's a fable. He's not famous for killing snakes. He's famous for writing really, really great limericks.
Also, born in Wales, FYI.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, that's our show, everybody. Thanks so much for listening this week. Hope you got some good laugh time funny zones in your mouth with this episode. I want to thank Gabe, aka MTGO Doc, on Twitter for joining us this week.
That's right. You should take a follow on Twitter. Oh, sentences are difficult today. Follow him on Twitter. That Modern Masters draft that you're going to be streaming sounds super sweet. So if you'd like to check that out or check out some other pretty great late night streaming, we highly recommend following him on Twitter or giving his Twitch channel a follow.
You can follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. Check out our library of every single one of our episodes at magicTheAmaturing.com, iTunes, Stitcher, or MTGcast.com, as well as TheMeatery.org.
Gabe, you got anything you want to close with?
No, you nailed it.
All right. Well, there you guys go. Thanks so much for chilling with us one more week, listeners.
Just one. Every time I'm like, just one more week of this show.
That's what I was imagining our listeners being like, fuck it, I guess one more time we'll listen to them.